Choosing a university is an important decision, and visiting campus can make all the difference. Blue Mountain Christian University invites prospective students and families to experience campus at our Spring Preview Day on Wednesday, March 4th. During Preview Day, you'll meet faculty, explore academic programs, learn about scholarships, experience chapel, and see what life is like in a Christ-centered campus community. Learn more and plan your visit at bmc.edu.
This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
A fellow who recently swallowed a dictionary said it was thesaurus his throat had ever been. Thesaurus.
Oh, really, Tim?
The world's shortest commercial flight is only 47 seconds. So,
and we don't have time for stowing. Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. Today's February the 27th, 2026. I think I got the year right. Anyway, I know it's February the 27th for sure. All right, Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Did I have the year right?
You got it right,
2026. Okay.
Yep. And you got the day right, 2-27-26.
Two for two already. Batting 1,000. How you doing, J.J. Jasper?
I'm doing well. What do you say when a group of lions falls down a hill? Pride comes before the fall.
That was...
But I boom.
Hey, that my works. Daughter Tegan gave me that, so...
That works.
Thank you, Teddy.
Pride comes before a fall. All right. I don't know, as the years go on and you get older, and I'm not as old as you guys are, but
rub it in.
Well, no,
I'm just rubbing it in.
That's how a 60-year-old man.
I'm just stating a fact. I'm just saying that as the years go on, you look back and you go, really? What happened to that decade?
Huh? Yeah.
2026.
I know.
Like we said, I just cleared my pantry out from Y2K.
Okay. The year 2000.
I just went in and said, okay, this is expired.
These beans have to go.
This 26 years ago, we're going to have to turn the page on this.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Trivia it is. We're going to ask questions and ask you to call in and answer and ask trivia questions here on American Family Radio. So is it first time callers or no?
It's not first time callers. Here's the number to call. 888-589-8840. So who should call? Well, if you haven't been on the air with us in the last 8 weeks,
right,
then we ask you to wait one more week because we want to give as many people as possible an opportunity to get on with us.
So an eight-week waiting period.
And so to get on with us, the number to call is 888-589-8840. We do ask that our callers be 11 years old or older.
Right.
JJ, there is something special about one of the 9 original questions that we 3 professors will ask.
One of these questions is the mystery question. If you happen to land on it and answer it correctly, you'll hear this sound.
The beloved cowbell.
And that means that you win 101 questions about Dalmatians or something like that. I don't have the book in front of me. Oh, here it is. 100 Bible questions and answers on prophecy in the end times.
Way better than 100 Dalmatians.
Alex McFarland and Bert Harper. It's a hardback book. Great resource.
Nice.
And you can win that. If you don't win it, you can go to our store and get that. You can get Easter buttons. You can get sweatshirts, caps, a whole lot of nice things at a great price, good value, and it helps the ministry.
That's at resources.afa.net if you want to get some of those items that JJ mentioned.
Now, Tim, the new Learning University t-shirts will be ready.
We hope.
Brent Creeley, our producer.
He guaranteed it.
No. Should be ready next week.
Okay. Yes. I saw the design. I think folks are going to love it.
Looks good.
It's our new Learning University t-shirt. We haven't had those like in 3 years, have we?
Yeah, maybe even a little bit longer than that. And that's coming up. We've got spring and summer coming up, so perfect time to get...
Wear t-shirts.
You mean it's been 3 years or longer? Just back to what you said.
Yeah.
Man, time flies by.
Because we did the mugs for a long time. Or the travel mugs, remember?
I have a saying, time flies whether you're having fun or not.
Yes,
you know?
That's true.
Isn't that true?
Right. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
That's my saying.
You know, you've got...
It's a good one.
We're still doing the preliminary stuff, so if I can just throw one more thing in. I would like to find the man who invented the zero just to say, thanks for nothing. Thanks for nothing, Ed.
I'm going to give you a fist bump on that. That was a worthy one-liner. Thanks for nothing.
All right. Let's see here. Anything else we need to talk about before we move on?
I think we're ready.
Let's go.
All right, bring it, Ed.
All right, here are my three questions. First question, what color were stop signs when first introduced? Now, I know some of you don't pay attention to them no matter what color they are.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
What color were stop signs when first introduced? Second question, I've been kind of getting into the multiple choice. So, the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew begins his genealogy of Jesus with what Old Testament figure? Was it Adam, Abraham, Jacob, or Moses? Matthew begins his genealogy of Jesus with what Old Testament figure? Was it Adam, Abraham, Jacob, or Moses?
Now, when he's talking genealogy, there's no mention about that little lady in the bottle, correct? This is a different kind of genealogy.
Absolutely different.
Okay.
You're not dreaming about this kind of genealogy.
There's no I dream of.
I dream of genealogy.
Okay.
All right, third question, true false. Pizza was the first secure retail purchase on the internet in 1994. Is that true or false? Pizza was the first secure retail purchase on the internet in 1994. Is that true or false?
Here's what I've got. First question. Moses sent 12 spies to scout out the promised land.
And they all brought back pizzas.
And they all got pizza on the internet.
Oh, man. I'm on fire, baby. Huh? See what I did right there?
We saw that.
Oh, man.
10 brought back a negative report. Only 2 brought a positive report. Name the 2 that brought the positive report. Second question, the quote, "You're going to need a bigger boat," came from what movie?
That's a good question.
The quote, "You're going to need a bigger boat," came from what movie? Third question, true or false, Michelangelo, not talking about the sewer turtles, but the guy that painted the Sistine. The
chapel.
Have you actually seen that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've seen it twice.
Wow. And then
it was okay.
The ceiling. It was okay. And then David, you know, carved the famous David. Well, Michelangelo, this is true or false, was once struck in the face with a mallet by an envious rival, disfiguring him for life. Is that true or false? Michelangelo struck in the face with a mallet by an envious rival, disfiguring him for life. True or false?
That's kind of like my question last week about Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan hitting each other with hammers.
Yeah.
Boy,
there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, not Nancy.
If that's
Kerrigan
true,
and Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding. That was a question last week.
They had an impact on the world.
Yeah,
much like Michelangelo.
Michelangelo. Good.
I actually the equivalent.
Skaters.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. So here we Sistine Chapel, Sistine, not 16th. Okay. A lot of people in America start saying 16th Chapel, and I'm going, no, it's not.
It's going to be hard to fix that because it's actually called Daylight Saving Time, and nobody gets that right.
No, so Sistine Chapel is one of the most remarkable, that's not even a fair word, it's amazing, awesome things I've ever seen in my life, man created.
Right, right.
One person.
Painting upside down. Yeah.
It's you know, this is back, how many years ago?
Well, I guess it's probably was that in the 1200s? I'm going to
look
that up.
Look when Michelangelo lived.
How do you lay on your back on scaffolding and do it in proportion? How do you make an eye? How do you make a nose?
I know.
And you're using a small brush, and how do you have
the
wherewithal?
Keep the paint from falling in your eyes, too.
I'm telling you, that paint by numbers thing.
It works.
Whoever came up with that, you just go from
one to two to three
and fill in all those little.
1473 was when it started.
You sailed the ocean blue that year.
That was 1492.
That was somebody else. Anyway, the Sistine Chapel.
So you got to see that. Have you seen it, Ed?
I have not.
I would love to see that.
It was built between 1473 and 1481, and I'm looking to see when it was painted.
You probably go on the internet and take a virtual tour, but it's just incredible to think one person did that, and that's at the Vatican City. Sistine Chapel is part of the Vatican.
Wait, you've seen that, and you haven't seen the Grand Canyon?
That's true.
And you call yourself a good American?
Well, I don't.
You don't call yourself one?
I'm average.
You're mediocre.
I'm in that average to good, right in that land, that space right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're all too hard on ourselves, though, really, if you think about it. Am I right?
Listen, according to my wife,
let me give my question.
You're right, according to Joel Osteen.
Okay. Being too hard on yourself.
All right, here are my three questions. Number one, from the book of Exodus in the Bible, God sent 10 plagues upon Egypt.
Yes, he
remember
did.
That? And Pharaoh, probably the most you want to know where males get their reputation for being hard headed. It started right there, probably maybe earlier. But anyway, what was the second plague that God sent to Pharaoh?
Good question.
That's a good question.
And if you can get that question without having to look it up or ask somebody, I mean, you just know it because you're.
Because you've memorized the plagues?
The plagues? Then we'll send you a copy of the book.
Oh, there you go.
That we talked about, okay? So, the question before you is, what was the second plague that God sent to Yul Brynner? Okay? I want to know the answer to that.
Well, maybe the most famous pharaoh.
Wow.
Right?
That's good.
All right. So, number two, this is the 250th anniversary of our country, so I got a couple of American history questions, okay?
Well, this goes to show you are not a mediocre American.
No.
Yeah.
I'm somewhere between mediocre and average, right? Are good. So, second question is, what state was President Ronald Reagan born in?
I'm going to say he was pretty happy.
We all know.
Just jovial, just kind of laid back.
I like that. Now, he was governor of California.
Yes, he was.
But he wasn't, I'll just tell you right now, he wasn't born there.
Okay, now you've given us a 49. Okay. Yeah.
All right, again, a question from our history. How many stripes are on the U.S. flag, and what do they represent? How many stripes are on the U.S. flag, and what do they represent? There you go. Let's go to the phones, Ed.
All right, let's go first to Kentucky. And Fred is on the line. Fred, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Well, how are you guys doing today?
Well, I'm speaking for myself, doing well.
Yeah, Fred, thank you for calling, my friend. Where do you live in Kentucky?
I live in Lexington.
Yes, sir. Good area. Go Big Blue.
Big Blue country right there, huh?
Yep.
All right. Well, listen, and also a lot of
a lot of paddocks, horse racing. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Fred, ask, answer, or both?
Both.
Okay. Which one you want to answer?
Well, since I actually had dialed in to Papa John's when your call screener got me online, I might as well go for that pizza question.
That's not a coincidence.
No, it's not.
The first item purchased on the internet was, in fact, a pizza.
All right.
Ask the question again.
All right, so the question is, pizza was the first secure retail purchase on the internet in 1994. Is that true or false? And you are saying what, Fred?
I'm saying true, and I even can add to that.
Okay, go.
The very first pizza was not only the very first item ordered commercially on the internet was a pizza, but it was a gluten-free pizza.
Wow, way back then.
Yeah, that's a deep dive right there.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
That's a deep dish dive.
You got to know your pizza.
Okay, now, I hate when things turn south like this.
And when somebody's so confident.
Yeah, Fred, that is not what I have. And I did double check this because I did have pizza in a list of trivia questions, mm-hmm. But when I double checked, I was told that was not true. No, I wasn't told. What I read said that was not true. But that was what I was going for. My first question was assuming that that was true. And so I'm going to say it is that, okay.
Are you having to make a judgment call?
I'm having to make a judgment.
You're really struggling with this one.
I'm having to make a judgment call because technically the question now is not, we can't use it. So yeah. I'm just going to give the answer.
Right.
The answer that I have is that it was a CD by the group Sting, 10 Summoners Tales.
Oh, really?
When I looked it up.
I've got that one.
You've got that? When I looked it up, all the websites I went to said that it was not pizza.
I can see where Fred got thrown off a little bit because the first purchase I made securely, I'm glad you said that, it was to order a pizza for that prince. And then they wanted all that money to help him get out of a bind.
That Nigerian prince.
Ooh, that Nigerian prince. Yeah, and that got really, I got in the weeds really deep.
Fred, I'm sympathetic. I thought it was pizza as well. I'm going to have to go with the Sting CD. It wasn't the mystery question, so you're not out.
That's right.
A book.
What's your question for us, Fred?
Well, what national holiday is on March 29th?
Isn't that around St. Patty's Day?
No,
don't say anything, Fred. But
That's the 17th of March.
Okay. What national holiday is on March the what?
Yeah, are you
29th?
Talking about
29th?
Are you talking about just because the last day of March? No,
it
I
might
don't
be.
Know.
What's the Isles of March? Is that a holiday?
It has to be a national holiday, but of course today, you know, half the calendar is a national holiday.
Yeah.
You know, since we started adding everything.
Hey, we're stumped. What's the answer, Fred?
It's National Vietnam War Veterans Day.
Oh, that is really good.
Are you a Vietnam vet, Fred?
It turns out I am. And not only that, on behalf of myself and Military Missions, we secured a train, and we're going to have an honor ride on that day, even though it is Palm Sunday as well.
Oh, that's good. Oh,
you mean an honor ride to Washington, D.C. to see the wall?
No, you got to remember, us Vietnam vets are a tad bit older than you guys.
Okay.
So we're just going to go at 2 o'clock, about 22 minutes out, turn the train around and come back, and that way we can get our nap before the ride or after the ride.
There you go. Hey, well, I like the way you think. Fred, thank you for your service.
Yeah. And Fred, I tell you what we're going to do because of your service, and I thought pizza was the right answer, and it's Friday, and you're a Vietnam vet. We're going to send you a copy of the book, 100 Bible Questions and Answers on Prophecy and the End Times. How's that? Now you get something
That's
to
wonderful.
Read on the trip.
Hey, you want to stay on?
And we also follow Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and April 1st is the last day of our five-year journey.
You
mean read through the Bible? Study through the Bible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, Fred, thanks for loving the Lord and His Word and listening to Christian Radio. Stay on the line so we can get your address and send you that book.
We're going to put you on hold, Fred. Thank you for your service and have a great trip.
And
to
today
the nation's capital.
Is another Fred. Today is Fred Rogers. He passed away on this day.
Really?
Yeah, I forget, 83. I'm not sure about the number, but.
Well, I'm sure his neighborhood will.
Everybody in the neighborhood knows.
We got a Fred Jackson here.
That's right.
Yes, we do.
Fred Blanks beat me out for point guard in 10th grade. I remember that, Fred.
And didn't he live close to Kevin Bacon?
Fred Blanks?
Or do we need to go a couple more?
Yeah, I don't know.
A couple more
leaves. That's really disappointing, though.
He beat you out at point guard?
Well, yeah. Well, it's a long story. But yeah, he beat me out at point guard. But, you know, that's okay. I recovered.
Kind of interrupted your
rebounded.
Trajectory well, then, towards the NBA.
The NBA, then your knee gets hurt.
Yeah.
And
those things happen.
NBA dreams dashed.
Yes.
I'm talking dashed.
Yes.
Like DoorDash, you know, just dashed away because of a little knee tweak.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes.
Right. Fortunately, your life was in God's hands. And you are right where you belong.
God said, no, you're not going to the NBA.
That's right.
Right.
Only because of that knee.
All right, Trivia Friday. Go ahead, Ed. Who's next?
All right, let's go to Virginia. And Mark is on the line. Mark, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hello, professors.
Yes, Virginia, there is a Mark.
You're on fire.
This is our bird man.
Yes.
The bird man of Virginia.
Speaking of bird, man, I would have taken on Larry Bird.
Is it what? Been
but,
for the knee.
But for the knee.
And,
right, yeah.
And Fred Banks.
We were contemporaries. Right. Larry Bird and I were contemporaries.
Were you really?
Yeah.
You were alive at the
in
same
the same
time?
Era.
A
yeah.
lot of people were alive yeah. at the same yeah. time as Larry Bird.
Mark, ask, answer, or do both, sir?
I want to do both, please.
Which one you want to answer?
The one about the Egyptian plague.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Mark.
Now, you mentioned if he didn't look this up, if he happens to know it, he's going to win the book.
That's right. If you know this without looking it up, we're going to send you the book. And
okay, I haven't looked it up.
Okay, you haven't looked it up. Here's the question that Mark from Virginia is going to answer, and it has nothing to do with birds. Okay? So I'm going to put that one aside.
Right. Gotcha.
What was the second plague that God sent on Egypt because of Pharaoh's hard-headedness? Wouldn't let the Israelites go. Mark, what's the answer to that?
I think it's frogs.
Yes.
Wow.
It is.
Nicely
it is.
Done.
Frogs was the second. That was. How did you know that? You just remember that reading that from the scripture?
Well, it's easy to remember it when you've seen the Prince of Egypt a bunch of times.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I got you. Well,
and if you think that's still not pertinent today, the counterpart to the State of the Union, the Democrats had a bunch of people dressed up as frogs on the stage, and then another one dressed as a giraffe, and they were singing out off key, which it seems like that's what they do at a lot of these rallies. But they had a bunch of people dressed as frogs
the other night. I just did that because they paid me. I didn't really believe in the cause. You know what I'm saying? But I'm looking for a little side job.
Yeah, side hustle.
So I dress as characters.
Yes.
So the Democrat, they call me and say, "Hey, will you dress up like a frog?" And
now, did you have to show two forms of ID and one picture ID?
I did. So the answer is frogs.
Frogs.
Swarms of frogs emerged from the Nile. Invaded homes and died in stinking piles.
And then the third plague was warts.
I got a rhyme going on right there.
Uh-oh, I missed your rhyme.
Swarms of frogs emerged from the Nile, invaded homes, and died in stinking piles.
Yeah, that's a rap.
Who's
all
with
right.
me?
Yes. Tim, Ed can beatbox.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so Mark, stay on the line with us. When we're finished with you, we'll put you on hold. Cindy Roberts will get your information. We'll send you a book.
By the way, frogs.
Thank you.
Frogs didn't end it.
No, you know? No, it kept on coming. Hey, have you realized the first two callers we've had won books? We'll not have any books left over at the end
of
the show.
T-shirts are coming to the rescue.
No, I've got some frogs we're going to send.
There you go.
Some pet frogs we're going to send.
There you go.
So. What's your question for us, Mark?
I want what you got, Mark.
That's right. Mark, on my morning radio show a few mornings ago, I said, folks, I want you to go out there and have joy as if your front teeth just got knocked out and you had a flag draped around you and you're just happy about being an Olympic gold medal winner.
And like you're 22 again.
You sound like you got a lot of joy.
Go ahead, Mark. What's your question for us?
Okay, so in the Sound of Music movie, what was the song that they sang for the puppet show?
Oh, I've seen that movie so many times. What song did they sing? That is a great
question. I've
only
seen it once.
My kids just saw it. I just saw it for the first time
last year.
Puppet show. I can't remember, Mark. I'm sorry. What was it? What's the answer?
It's The Lonely Goat Herd.
The Lonely Goat.
Aren't they all, though?
Yeah.
Aren't they all lonely?
One is the loneliest goat herd.
One is the loneliest goat herd. That's a great question, Mark. I love the sound of music. I could watch it.
It was very good.
Yeah.
Mark, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll get a book out to you just ASAP.
All right. Oh, now I'm... JJ's that song stuck in my head.
All right, we'll be back
in a minute with more of today's issues at Trivia Friday.
my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
It's a great pleasure sometimes for those of us growing older to recall past events in our lives. It's kind of funny how things grow more precious as the years go zooming by. Memories seem to be so much richer the older they get. I was thinking about some old times the other day. I remembered quite clearly one occasion. It was about a high school football game. It was a very important football game for our team, for we'd gone through nearly the entire season and we were undefeated and untied, and it looked like we were en route to a perfect season. We had a big game coming up, and the game could decide the conference championship. And if we could win this one, it was all ours. There was much excitement about that game. We played on the visitors' field, but nearly everyone from our hometown had followed us over, and the stands were packed with fans pulling for us. We felt certain we could defeat our opponent because we had beaten a team by 26 points, which had previously beaten this team by 13 points. But after the game got underway, nothing seemed to go right for us. We could move the ball down to the opponent's 5-yard line, but we never got any farther than that. I guess we spent about 50% of the first half inside our opponent's 5-yard line. But for some reason, we could never get the ball into the end zone. Late in the first half, one of our opponents intercepted a pass and ran it nearly the entire length of the field for a touchdown. The extra point was good, and at the half, we went into the dressing room with a 7-0 deficit. Ours was a rather dejected group, for we had not been behind a game all season. Most of the fellows were already conceding defeat. I can remember that only one other player and myself were still positive. We thought we could win. Well, in the second half, we played a little better. We managed to score a touchdown. And when it came time to call a play for that crucial extra point, which would mean a tie, the play was a pitch-out option on which the quarterback could either elect to run with the ball or pitch it out to myself. I was playing the halfback. And at the last moment he pitched it out, I grabbed the ball, and I don't believe a bulldozer could have stopped me. It was 7-7 with time left to score again. You know, I played extremely hard in those last few minutes, and nearly once I broke away. We were so close to scoring. But I didn't have the speed or coordination or talent, and my try was short. I can remember walking off the field when the game was over. I was awful despondent. A tie in my book was as bad as a loss. But as I walked off the field, my father was waiting for me. You know, he'd never done that before. And I can remember the expression on his face. He was proud of me, of the game I had played, despite the tie. I'd done my best, and he was proud. You know, over the years, I've come to realize that my Heavenly Father is like that also. He's proud of us when we've done our best, even if it wasn't good enough. And every time I lose or tie now, after doing my best, I remember that. And somehow, it gives me the strength to try again.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Psalm 27:4.
American Family Radio.
Just give me that countryside.
There you go. You know, that show, Green Acres, the gentleman who played Ebb, E.B.,
yeah.
You know, remember, if those yeah. who are fans of the show remember Ebb, his name in real life was Tom Lester. And he was from, I want to say he was from Laurel, Mississippi, or either?
I think Alabama, maybe. Oh, no,
he was from Mississippi.
That's right.
He was either from Hattiesburg or Laurel. Anyway, it was South Mississippi, I remember. And he came up here, to Tupelo, to visit us. This is probably 25 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Good Christian man.
He was a listener to AFR, and he came up to see us. He was, but he was Eb on that show, and he was an evangelist, too. He traveled around sharing,
I remember that.
Yeah.
Sharing his testimony, and he passed, I'm not sure when, like 10 years ago or so. I'm not sure when he, but I just remember hearing of his passing, but yeah. So that's our connection with Green Acres right there.
Yeah. I'll tell you another little fun fact tied to the show. Green Acres and Ham became a very popular children's book by that Zeus fella.
But I boom. Zeus. Yeah, Zeus. You know, he got tired of ruling the universe.
When he wasn't throwing light and bolts, he was writing children's.
You know, Acres and Ham.
My wife had some minor surgery, and so we were at the doctor's yesterday for a checkup.
Yeah.
And on the TV was Leave It to Beaver. We joke about that show. I haven't seen Leave It to Beaver in 20 years, and I forgot how funny that show is.
Yeah.
So these old, you know, clean shows, very funny, very clever. And so anyway, that was a good age for a lot of the television shows back then.
All right.
Anyway.
Let's repeat our questions, guys.
Yeah, I'm going to have to add one. So first question, what color were stop signs when first introduced? Second question, a multiple choice. In the Gospel of Matthew begins his genealogy of Jesus with what Old Testament figure? I'll give you some options. Was it Adam, Abraham, Jacob, or Moses? And then the question I will add, what state has the motto, the Gem State, G-E-M? The Gem State. What state has the motto, the Gem State?
Here's what I've got. First question from the Bible. Moses sent 12 spies to scout out the promised land. 10 came back with a negative report. 2 brought a positive report. Name the 2. Second question. The quote, you're going to need a bigger boat, came from what movie? The quote, you're going to need a bigger boat, came from what movie?
Is that a John Wayne movie or no? Just
I'm going to throw it out. It's not a John Wayne movie.
Not a John Wayne movie?
Because then it would be.
Because y'all been on a roll about John Wayne movies, and I thought
that's right. Okay. No. Not a lot of boats out there in the Texas Panhandle and right. through all those canyons that he was riding. That's right. Third question. True or false, Michelangelo was once struck in the face with a mallet by an envious rival, disfiguring him for life. Is that true or false?
All right, here are my two questions. What state was President Ronald Reagan born in? What state was he born in? And number two, this is our 250th anniversary, so I'm trying to throw some patriotic questions in along the way.
But you're talking about the country.
Yes.
As opposed to you, Miss Allison.
Yeah, 250th anniversary, yeah. I'm doubtful we'll get there. Because we just passed 40, 41, something like that.
That's good. That's excellent.
Be 42 this year. I'm trying to figure in my head.
You know you're under pressure now.
It'll be 42 in July.
Yeah, there you go.
Or we'll remind folks in case they want to send gifts. You know,
where are you registered?
As we get closer.
Yeah.
Where are you registered?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this real quick. Do you and your wives have this same conversation? Allison will go on the internet to go see where somebody's registered, and then she'll go, unbelievable what these people are asking for.
Oh, in terms of the costs?
Yeah.
Well, and the items, you know.
The items.
We'd like to have a Bentley.
We want a 7.
Then we move on down the list.
So the first item's like $1,000, you know, like, who's going to buy this? Ask your mama to buy it, because we're buying you the.
We're
buying you the bath towels.
We're buying you the $75 thing.
I told my wife.
What'd you tell her, Ed? You laid down the law.
These wedding gifts, $25 gift card to Papa John's. That's it. That's well, all they're getting.
I wouldn't even do anything if that's what you're going to do.
You're talking about,
first of all, I was just kidding.
Don't leave, I'm insulted. Okay, don't leave a tip if you're going to leave $1.30. Okay, just don't even leave one at all. That way they'll think you forgot instead of you intentionally dissed them.
I'm not sure.
All right, here are my questions.
What you're getting at. A gift card to Papa John's is a classy gift.
Yeah.
In
all right,
country.
Well, you keep thinking that. Okay, see how your friends list drops.
Well, right. Hey, I stopped getting invited to weddings, won't
That's
I?
That's a good goal.
Yeah.
How many stripes is on the U.S. flag, and what do they represent?
Good.
All right, who's up next, Ed?
We're going to Georgia. Who wouldn't want to go to Georgia? And Ramona is on the line. Ramona, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Good morning, Professor. Good to be here. Oh.
Hey, thanks for calling, Ramona. Where do you live in Georgia?
I live in Gainesville, Georgia.
Gainesville.
That's a good area.
Well, that's where Larry Burkett's ministry used to be.
Northeast, yes. Yes, it was.
I've been there. Been to Gainesville, been to Helena. Isn't it Helena?
Helen, Georgia, yeah.
Helen. It's a German-style village there in the mountains of Georgia.
Yes.
German-style, right? Really? Like.
Yeah, you know, like a... Like a German
people walking around,
a German motif for the town.
Okay,
yeah,
it's kind of like a smaller Gatlinburg.
All right. Oh, that's neat.
Speaking of, you know, Sound of Music, that kind of with the chalets and people walking around in the shorts and
chalets everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean, too many chalets, if you ask me. But that's just me. A lot of people like a lot of chalets.
Yeah.
Ramona, ask, answer, or do both?
I'm going to do both, sir.
Which one you feel confident about? Make your family proud there in Georgia.
I'm going to answer one, which is heretofore gone unanswered.
Oh, we love that, Ramona.
Ramona.
You made us proud.
I've let that cause get away from us. We need to get back on it again.
We do.
That is the word heretofore.
I agree.
Thank you, Ramona. The word heretofore needs to be brought back into our lexicon here in America. We lose that word, it's a sign of doom.
Yes.
Downhill. Well,
I'm going to get the
downhill. See, Ramona's with me.
I'm going to get a t-shirt made up to say that. You know what? I got to retract something I've been saying. I said that State of the Union address. He checked every single box important to conservatives and Christians.
Yeah.
But if he had said that,
right.
That word, Trump
we have to bring
that,
back heretofore.
That would have been
perfect. And Ramona's on that train.
Yes. Yeah. Ramona, what's your question? I mean, which one are you going to answer?
I'm going to answer about the 12 spies that went to Canaan.
Yes, ma'am, right out of the Bible.
What's the question?
Moses sent 12 spies to scout out the promised land. 10 came back with a negative report. Only 2 had a positive report. Name the 2.
Joshua and Caleb.
That's right. And if you think about it, you never hear all those other names are obscure. In fact, they got, you know, they got killed.
Got everyone in trouble.
Yeah. And then Joshua and Caleb, people are still to this day naming their children that.
Joshua and Caleb, what was their report when they came back?
Well, the others
who
said
they reporting back
walled
to?
Cities. Yes, there are grapes so big where you have to carry them on a staff, but they're giants. And we even look like grasshoppers.
In our own sight.
Yeah.
That's their report?
That was the negative report.
Okay.
And then Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able to possess that land.
We can take these guys.
But
my question is, would there be anything that Joshua and Caleb would have seen that would have deterred them?
I don't think so.
They didn't even have to go out.
Because their eyes were on the Lord.
Yeah, well, the thing is God promised. I'm taking you to the promised land. I'm giving you the promised land over and over. And not only was he... It wasn't disobedience as much, this is my opinion, as much as it was unbelief. It was a slap in his face. I've given you water out of a rock.
Yeah.
Right.
I had manna. I did all this. And I've been telling you and telling you and telling you. I take you over there. Yeah, there's obstacles, but that's one more way for me to show you that the battle belongs to the Lord. And the people cried all night. They talked about stoning Moses. They said, oh, we've got to go back to Egypt. Why couldn't we just die in Egypt instead of out here? And then they were over there 40 days. So the Lord said, because you were there for 40 days, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years.
Well, let me just toss one other thing in here, because I preached on this. Of course, who hadn't preached on this? But when they, after 40 years, and then Joshua was going to lead them in. Remember, they sent 2 spies in, and Rahab helped them. She was telling them, when you guys came up the first time 40 years ago, every one of the nations in the Promised Land were quaking in their boots, I'm paraphrasing, said, because we had heard what the God of Israel had done. And what's stunning is that those pagans believed more in what God was going to do than the people of God.
Wow.
Because
that'll preach.
Yep.
Ramona, thank you for reading the word. Thank you for listening to Christian Radio and helping us advance the cause for heretofore. What's your question for us?
Well, I was going to say, you said everybody knows those two names. Yes, my son, I named him Caleb.
Wow.
And was very proud of that, and now he goes by Tots. So.
Oh, wow. Well, names matter. They didn't name
that's right.
People,
I agree.
Jezebel, you didn't name them. Lucifer,
Judas. Exactly.
Very few people are naming their girls. Very few
Judas.
People are naming their girls Hillary. And so there's a how you wear a name means a lot.
What's your question for us, Ramona?
Absolutely. Okay, y'all are on a kick about John Wayne movies. I got a question.
All right, go
in
ahead.
In the movies, a gentleman shot and killed John Wayne. It actually ruined his career. Do you know the actor that played that part?
You know, we had something along these lines a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Oh,
like
yeah,
which
yeah,
two
movies okay.
Did he die?
It was that's the question I had. It was about the movie The Cowboys. It was Bruce Dern who shot and killed John Wayne, and he said he got death threats. In fact, I looked this up because someone had mentioned it. He was being interviewed. I don't know, 10 years ago. So he said, I get death threats to this day.
What?
Because I shot John Wayne and killed
absolutely
him.
Absolutely ruined his career.
What? In
well,
his movies.
You know, some things you walk into, you know, you deserve it. I'm not saying he did, but I'm just saying some things you risk. You start killing John Wayne in movies and you think you're going to just walk on down to the restaurant.
Got him in the...
unscathed. What do you say, Ramona?
Shot him in the back.
Oh, yeah. That makes it even worse.
Yeah. Yeah. He did him dirty.
Yeah.
Hey, Ramona, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening to AFR.
Thank you, Ramona.
Yeah. Ramona from Georgia.
Like a nice lady.
All right, go.
All right, let's go to Kansas. And Brad is on the line. Brad, welcome to Trivia Friday.
How you guys doing?
All right, Brother Brad. Where are you calling from in Kansas?
I live in Kansas, but I'm a truck driver. You guys know that. I'm in New Mexico right now. Sorry to say.
We've had John before. Ask, answer, or do both?
We'll do both.
Which one you want to answer?
About the flag.
Okay. Hey, by the way, Brad, before I do that, do you truck drive across the country?
Yes.
What's the prettiest place you ever seen?
Montana.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Montana. All right. Well, yeah. Here's the question that Brad's going to answer. Again, a question for this is our in commemoration of our 250th anniversary of our country. Here's the question: how many stripes are on the U.S. flag, and what do they represent, Brad?
Well, there are 13 stripes, and they represent the 13 colonies.
That's right.
Nice.
Way to go, brother.
Nicely done.
That's excellent.
Well done.
The United States flag has 13 horizontal stripes, alternating red and white, with the top and the bottom stripes being red. These 13 stripes represent the 13 original colonies that declared independence from Great Britain and led to what we know today as our beloved country, the United States of America.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Way to go, Brad. That's great. You have a question for us?
Yeah, but on a side note of there, I actually have on my wall at my house, I actually have a flag that has 48 stars.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Where'd you get that?
Ex-father-in-law.
Okay.
I've had it for a long time, and it's quality made, and it's just beautiful. And I was looking at it. It's like it's actually between 66 and 113 years old.
Yeah.
That's
good. You're talking, Alaska and Hawaii were added, what, in the late 40s?
1959.
I mean, late 50s. Okay.
And then Arizona was number 48 at 1912. So.
Wow.
At 1912. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing, man. What you got a valuable right there, I'll tell you that. And I don't know how much it's worth. I wouldn't sell it, but
no.
All right. So we're
Brad, thanks. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Hey, man.
I was going to ask you guys.
Yeah, he's going to ask
us
something.
Oh, that's right. You were telling us about your flag.
Go ahead, Brad.
Okay. All right. This is a interstate question, you know, the highways and everything. You know,
Tim's going to know
it. Sometimes you come up on an exit and there's like two or three different exits within that mile, like exit 2A, 2B, 2C, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. The question is, what section of 1 mile, a 1 mile stretch, where is it located, and how many exits are in that 1 mile?
All right. Going where?
Okay. You're talking about a specific stretch of highway?
Yeah. A 1 mile stretch, where is it located, and how many exits are in that 1 mile?
This is like, do we need algebra?
It's pretty vague. I mean, I don't know what you're asking. I mean, you're asking a section of road anywhere
somewhere in America.
In America, but I don't know if you're saying that has the most exits, or what is your specific question?
Most that I know of. There's two answers you got to give me. So where is it located?
Yeah.
That has the most exits and only.
I'm gonna say Montana.
Mile.
No, Montana, really?
Oh, I don't know.
New York City.
They have the prettiest exits out there in Montana.
That's right. Hey, I don't think we're ever going to get it, but we can tell you how many angels can dance on the head of a pin after we answer that one.
But we will argue about it.
Seriously, I'm going to guess it's somewhere Dallas-Fort Worth. I'm going to say
New York.
Okay, New York. All right, go, Brad. What's the answer?
It's actually Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, really?
Really?
What? How many exits in that mile?
Ray Pritchard.
Ray Pritchard when you get a chance.
All right.
Yeah.
How many exits are in that 1 mile? You know, what letter does it go up to?
Well, you tell us, because we're never going to get it. We're going to be blindly guessing.
Okay. The highest letter exit in that 1 mile stretch is the letter Z. So there's 26 exits in that 1 mile stretch.
In 1 mile.
I don't believe you, Brad.
I'll take a picture of it next time I drive by.
You're driving.
All right, Brad, I'm not calling you a liar.
You'll go off on the wrong exit.
I'm just saying I think you have a bad memory.
Okay, well, when I send you a picture, I expect a T-shirt.
If you send us a picture of what you're talking about and that's real, we will send you a Trivia Friday, a brand new, hot off the presses, AFR Trivia Friday T-shirt, which will be available in two weeks. You send us a picture at comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net, what you're talking about, and we will send you that, all right?
Just call Ray Pritchard.
You guys
talk to him all the time.
I'm going to say I believe you, Brad.
He's not the most trustworthy either. I mean, I love him, but, you know, he says stuff that's out the wall.
Mark this tape.
Hey Brad,
thanks, Brad,
seriously,
have a great weekend.
Send a picture. I want to see it. So send a picture, Brad, and you might have a T-shirt coming.
Thank you, Brad.
God bless you, Brad.
I got to say this, and I love Arkansas, okay? Yeah. Great people. But if you go just south of Little Rock on 30, is it 35? What's that interstate, JJ?
I think it's 35.
I go through there all the time.
I don't know why. Anyways, the one from Little Rock to Dallas.
Goes through Texarkana.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's 35.
All right, just south of Little Rock there, they got these exits off the interstate, and you exit into oncoming traffic.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I know what you're talking about. And it was Bill Clinton who did it.
Yes.
Are you?
When he was governor.
It's the most messed up.
And oncoming traffic, then you pass that, you kind of like yield.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Well,
that's
all right.
Right.
It proves my point that we haven't even discussed this, and we all will know what I'm talking about here.
Right.
But I've never seen anything like it. You got a highway running by the interstate.
It's like an access road.
Yes,
on either side.
That's
and
right.
And
semi trucks are barreling down through
I
there.
Just, I remember seeing it the first time I ever saw that. Sign.
We lived there for in North Little Rock for a year.
Okay,
I moved my family there to help my old Bible college roommate with his first church.
Because of those things, right? Get away from them.
No, but
you know what I'm talking about.
I told my wife. I said, "Well, what is this?" Because the people on that access road, you're trying to turn onto the interstate.
Yes.
And they if they don't stop at the stop sign coming the other way, it's a head-on collision. It's just the craziest thing.
And for people who are traveling the interstate, they're from out of town. They don't even know what's going
Brent,
on here.
Can you get Sarah Huckabee on the line? I mean, I just think we got an action, Brian. She'd be the right person to talk to.
All right, let's go back to the phones, Ed.
All right, we're going to go to Tennessee now, and John is on the line. John, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey, man, I made it. All right, good deal. I'm en route to Sugar Tree, Tennessee. How about that? Been looking for sugar trees there for 40 years.
Hey, John. Thanks for calling. Where is that in West Tennessee?
Yes, sir. West Tennessee. I live in Adamsville, Tennessee, home of Buford Pusser, of course.
Yes, sir.
And
I know where you are.
A local propane company en route to Sugar Tree.
Sugar Tree, Tennessee. That rhymes.
Propane and propane accessories.
Yeah. That's me, Brother Hank.
All right. Thanks for calling, Brother John. You want to ask, answer, or both?
I want to do both, man.
Okay, which one are you going to take a shot at here?
Let's go with Ronald Reagan.
Okay, that's not an easy one. John's going to answer this. The question is, what state was President Ronald Reagan born in, John?
Well, according to the search engine that I looked up, it's Illinois and the city of Tampico.
Yes.
Illinois, does that sound right?
Tampico, and I'm glad you used the S on the end of Illinois, because it doesn't need to be there if it's not going to be used.
This endears.
Let's give John a hand.
Yeah,
endears
John to all the
people. You're a
Google. Pusser would be proud of you.
A Google master right there. So anyway, a lot of people think that Ronald Reagan was born in California because he was the governor there, two-time governor. Of course, he went on to become the president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, but he was actually born in Illinois, and I'm not sure where Tampico is. Did it show you where Tampico is?
I didn't look it up, Tim, but I was thinking California myself, and I said, well, that can't be
right.
Because he was governor of California, so that's too easy, so I better do a little research here.
Yeah,
good job.
A town called Tampico, Illinois, 1911. Now, I believe he was the only president ever born in Illinois. I think I'm right about that.
I don't know.
We'll research that. But Illinois is known as the land of Lincoln.
Right.
Right.
But actually, Abraham Lincoln was actually born in Kentucky. And moved to Illinois. He wasn't born in Illinois. But I'll double check that. But I think Ronald Reagan is the only president ever from Illinois. I think I'm right about that.
Yeah. And since I answered one of the greatest presidents ever in this country's question, about where his birthplace was, and when you find out the rest of that, you can just send me a free ball cap or something, because I did answer the question. Yeah.
Yes, John. And I appreciate you just, being a straight shooter there and asking for something that is undeserved.
Yeah. Some people call that shameless, but straight shooter sounds better.
I know you guys are fixing to go to a break, so I have a question to ask you guys.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So my question to you guys is, there was a great president that said it's not because they're ignorant, it's because they know so much that isn't so. Who was that?
Ronald Reagan.
Bingo.
That's it, man.
Yep.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Way to go, JJ.
I wish we had Ronald Reagan's vocabulary in our current president. I love our current president. We just need Ronald Reagan speaking through him.
I know. Ronald Reagan, Donald Trump and Ronald Reagan have a lot of the same convictions, but they have completely different styles. I prefer
communicate.
Yeah, I prefer Ronald Reagan in terms of style, but I still appreciate President Trump.
What he's accomplished.
President Trump is doing
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
I will look it up and make sure I'm correct on that. Ronald Reagan was born in Tampico, Illinois, in the year 1911. And what? If you
play college football Illinois?
I read his autobiography. It was either a biography, I guess, called Reagan. I mean, it was fascinating. What'd you say?
Did he play football
in Illinois, or was that in California? You know what?
He played for the Gipper.
Illinois. You know that was a movie, right? We'll be back. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.